just got back today. Shawnee boy who had been away. Hope he hasn't changed, hope he's got a lot to say. Or he's just gonna drive me crazy. Who I've been asking around where he was, where he could be found. You told me he was downtown, driving all the women crazy. Shawnee is back in town, Shawnee is back in town. I said Shawnee is back in town, Shawnee is back in town. Shawnee is back in town, Shawnee is back in town. Shawnee is back in town, Shawnee is back in town.
Hello there, you heard it here first, Shawnee Cassidy has been found. You no longer need to look in the red light district of Liverpool. He is here with us today for your listening pleasure. Of course, this is I'm Stumped, I'm Chris Beale.
And I am Shawnee Cassidy. Hello.
And welcome to the 13th episode, I believe it is today, which some people might think is unlucky, but it's very lucky for me to have Shawnee back with me. I'm very glad to not be alone in my quest for getting knowledge out there to you guys. So first of all, we're going to start off by doing a bit of a catch-up session. A lot has gone on between the two of us since we last spoke on this wavelength to you both. So first of all, I'll let Shawnee give you his wisdom from Spain, where he's been hiding all this time. Okay, so Shawnee, enlighten us.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you for the entertainment you provided in the previous podcast, where you tried to get me thrown off the show, which is
that's quite right.
It made for very entertaining listening when I got home from Spain. Anyway, Spain was a wonderful experience, to be honest. It was good to get away from the rain and the so-called summer that we've been having in England at the moment, and the Benicassim Music Festival that I attended in Spain.
You a music festival, Shawnee? You love them, don't you? You just have to go to the UK on holiday.
So it was 10 days long in Spain, and it was in the most challenging conditions. Have you ever tried pitching a tent, only to find that you can't hammer the pegs into the ground because the ground's so dried up, it's been like a drought? And it was... The thing that separates Benicassim Festival from all the other festivals around the world, apart from the weather, is the times that the bands like appear on stage. Because normally, I don't know if you know, Chris, it's saying Glastonbury, Leeds, Reading, the music begins at something like 10 o'clock in the morning, doesn't it? And doesn't really finish until midnight at the very latest.
Oh, do they have a siesta?
Wait, in Spain, not really. People in Spain, they usually have a siesta in sometime in the afternoon, don't they? But the music didn't start until 6 o'clock of an evening, and finished at about 4 o'clock in the morning. So,
was it overly hot, or was it?
It was extremely hot. The problem was that when you finished watching the last band, which finished at 4 a.m., you then went to sleep in your tent. And then got woken up about 4 hours later on when the heat and the sun turned everything into a sauna. So, that was the main problem.
So it was quite exhausting then?
Yeah, it is. It is quite exhausting. Sorry, do you mind?
So not something that you recommend for our listeners, unless they're quite a hardy music fan?
I would recommend it, yeah. But... personally, I wouldn't go again for a while. It's something you do once, but not again for a good few years at least. Because by the end of the trip, you hadn't really had a wash in about 8 days. You were sunburned.
That's not very different from
you. Yeah, well, very funny that one, Chris.
We'll have to slip in some comedy somewhere, sure.
2 weeks worth make up for it for last week, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't the same with our banter. I've had a couple of experiences to bring you guys up to date with what I've been doing. As Sean said, I've been down in Cornwall doing some surfing. I did some proper stand-up surfing for the first time, which was interesting. It was quite sunny, not particularly hot, but yeah, it was good surfing conditions, and nobody got attacked by sharks or anything, so that was good. We did see a shark, though, quite coincidentally. We saw a basking shark. And I got heat stroke. Did you get heat stroke in Spain, Sean? No?
Well, a few of the people I was with got heat stroke. But it was unavoidable for some parts. I remember one time we ended up on the beach in Benicassim. It's a really nice beach. But you have to pay to get an umbrella to shield you from the rays. So there's this Spanish guy in charge of the coastline around that area.
Yeah.
So he's quite a big, bulky, well, he was fat, to put it in other words. And he used to walk along the beach, and his English
was... I bet his underarms are drenched in sweat.
His English was very limited, to put it mildly. And he used to come over to us, and he used to go and point at the sunbeds and go, Dos! Like, only two people on the beds, and we're like, okay. Dos, uno, €6, dos, €12. Like he'd be, that was the only thing he said. The only English, the only thing he actually said to us. So then he tried to throw us off the beach one time, because we put three people on the sunbeds. So it was fun watching him waddle up the, he gets his binoculars out from his hut. And he sees three people on the sunbeds, and he thinks, oh no, this is terrible, we only need two. So he waddles up the beach, and he tries to throw us off the sunbeds. Very nice guy. He got called some choice Spanish words by a few of the people I was with, anyway. So. Words that we cannot repeat on this podcast, because it is a family podcast.
It is indeed a family show, brought to you by Skittles. I do have one story, but it's about farting, which isn't really
appropriate.
But I think I'll have an exception for this one time. So, the story begins, you see, Sean, with myself, indeed, going to wash my hands. And there was a guy who came in after me who went to dry his hands. And you know that dryers are obviously quite loud. And I could accidentally feel this wind sort of building up inside me, and so of course I had to expel said gas, and so I tried to do it in the most discreet way as possible, which we can talk about in a minute, the best way you think to expel gas quietly. But so I tried to do that, but he actually, it was audible over the sound of the dryer,
mm-hmm.
And he kind of just, did that thing where he just turns around really, really slowly to look at you, just went, charming, and just walked off. And I was just like, oh. But anyway, so what ways do you think the best way to quietly excuse yourself of said wind?
I think you've got to try and make other people believe it wasn't you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you always, there's, I think it's a good thing to talk about, because there's a lot of situations, like you're at work, you're in an office, or maybe you're in a meeting with your boss, and, you can't help it sometimes, You can't leave to go to the toilet, and it's just there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you pull yourself further onto the seat? Do you like try and squash it so it just, or what did you do? Do you open up your cheeks and just try and let it walk out, or what do you do?
This podcast reached a whole new level, hasn't it, this week? Expelling gas.
Is this an important issue with which we have to address?
Well, listeners, if you've got any suggestions on how to expel a gas, then please don't hesitate to send them in.
But in your experience, Sean,
in my
what is the best way to do it discreetly? So you don't have to try and blame it on anyone. Yeah, so it's a bit more silent but deadly.
Well, sometimes there's no way to avoid the imminent explosion. So you just have to live with it. The worst, I think the worst part's the smell sometimes.
So you think that everyone should just own up to their own parts and not blaming everyone else?
Yeah, but there are certain times when you can do it and certain times when it's not advisable. Say you're on your own.
Like in a lift?
Or on the tube, or on a plane, something like that. So it's not...
Yeah, because if you do it on a plane, that air just gets recycled, so you're just breathing in your own fart for the whole time.
Exactly. You gotta have manners. I know there's been explosions on a transport, but you shouldn't add to it by breaking wind.
That was Sean Cassidy there with a very dodgy comment. Onward with the podcast. I believe that we need to raise the bar a bit higher than we've let it fall in Sean Cassidy's absence. So let us answer one of your questions. We've got a question here about religion.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes to us from Emma. And she says, "Dear, I'm stumped. I've sworn myself to celibacy." Well, it's not a funny subject, Sean. It's very serious.
Well, it's just the topics that we're on currently.
I'm just wondering, you know, what sort of things does that include? Mm-hmm. So, in your extensive knowledge, Sean, what would you say is acceptable? I don't think the bar's been raised very high still, but that's
in my extensive knowledge of religion, what is acceptable in celibacy? Is that the question?
Yeah. That is the question that was sent in. Yeah.
Well, it's difficult to know, Emma, where your boundaries currently are. Do you know, does Emma say if she's currently single? Or?
She says she's in a relationship, and she doesn't want to make the guy feel that, you know, because us men are a bit more sexually inclined. This isn't really a family show anymore.
Explicit. Well, Emma's in a... quite a tricky dilemma, I think. She's got a religion. On the other hand, she's got a new boyfriend. Who does she go with? Religion, boyfriend?
Well, I mean, the thing is that with any religion, I think that a rule book, or, you know, any set of rules, isn't just a list of rules. There's got to be some flexibility. That's why we have you know, the justice system, where you go to court, you don't just, if you're suspected of something, you aren't just killed or whatever. You know, the laws have to be kind of flexible. So I think that in terms of, like, celibacy and that kind of thing, really the laws or the rules with celibacy, you know, have to be given a little bit of leeway. I'm not saying that she's just completely, like, just throw herself on him, but I'm just saying that I think that a lot of things that can be done is really your own choice then, rather than it being a case of, oh, I can't do that because I'm celibate kind of thing.
You're saying it's like open to interpretation, is it, do you think?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, because it's your choice to make yourself celibate.
Yeah, but then
again, you feel like you don't need to commit any sexual acts until you are of an age.
Yep.
Or in a mindset with someone who you're going to live with for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, that your view on that might change over the years. But you don't want to just say, oh, I'm just going to, like, completely stop being celibate, because otherwise then you kind of feel like you have that thing where you feel like you're letting yourself down, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's quite an admirable thing to stand up for, in a way, because it shows you putting your faith in your religion, I think, and Well, a lot of people, you see a lot of people getting pregnant at, what, 13, 14. You think, obviously they don't even have a clue what celibacy means or or what religion is. So, I think it's quite...
What contraception is.
Exactly. But, well, I think they do know what it is, but they don't bother using it, so...
It's like, oh, it won't happen to me. But it's just like the amount of people...
What?
You get pregnant at that age and then decide to keep it.
Yeah, but we...
You're not in any fit state, really, are you, at that age, to look after a child?
So you're saying everyone should take a vow of celibacy then, until they're married? Is that you're saying?
No, I'm just thinking, I just think everyone should be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get pregnant, then don't use contraception. Otherwise, use contraception, and then it stops the spread of STDs and all that kind of thing. But as for celibacy, it shows that you're committed to a relationship without then needing to be any sex involved, which I think makes the relationship more meaningful. But on the other hand, you know, a man needs a little bit of loving every now and again. I just think that there should be a bit of leeway to what that loving can be, even within the bounds of celibacy.
Yeah, could Emma be pressurised into certain acts by her boyfriend?
Well, I mean, I think if you're trying to pressurise someone into doing something that they don't want to do, then that's not like a very good relationship. So, if he respects her, whoever this boyfriend is, then I think that he'll, you know, I mean, you can make some suggestions, can't you? But not to push them. And it's like in any relationship, if you want them to do something, you know, you can ask them, but you don't want to, like, oh, you got to do it kind of thing, or I'm going to leave you, you know.
I think that's an excellent point. That's one of the best points you've made in all 13 podcasts, I think that's a... I think that's very good point to finish that question on, because we've had another question sent in by Joseph, I think that says. I can't really read his writing while my secretary's written for me. What's that saying? Yes, Joseph. Joseph from Newcastle. Not often we have listeners that far north, normally down south, I think. And Joseph says, "Dear, I'm stumped. I've been a bit worried about recent allegations in the news about phone hacking. I have discovered that my phone or that my details may have been on one of the lists. What should I do, Chris and Sean?" It's a very topical question, I think, Chris.
It is. I mean, we're getting all these topical questions sent in. I mean, we really cannot thank you guys enough. I mean, without you guys, we really have nothing to talk about on the show. So thank you, Joseph, and thank you to Hayley, our secretary, for sorting that out with you, Sean. And in answer to your question, I mean, it really depends on like what you've been sort of saying, really, doesn't it? Because if you've been saying a lot of stuff that you really don't want people to know, then that makes it more of a problem than if you've just been, you know, just talking to someone about, you know, random stuff. I mean, to be honest, I don't really ever talk about anything that I really don't want anyone to know. I mean, I don't think now that they could release your information without there being like a whole uproar about it.
I don't think it's a case of people need to be careful about what they say. I think it's more a case of they should have the right not to have the phone or messages listened to, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But I'm just saying that for now, I mean, the fact that he has been hacked, you know, I mean, of course he shouldn't have been, and that's why they're doing all these inquiries and everything. But I don't really think that there's a lot that he can really do now. I think you should be able to say what you like, and, you know, the freedom of speech, without having to worry about how someone's going to interpret that.
I'm guessing Joseph isn't like a major name or celebrity, is he? And I think it's only really come to the public's attention, this phone hacking story, due to the fact that that girl who was kidnapped and murdered, I think, Millie Dowler.
Yeah.
Her voicemail was listened to, and messages were deleted, weren't they?
I just think that, I mean, I can, like, if they were like, oh, we were hacking it, I mean, I know that's a really bad thing, but to delete messages that were left there, surely that's evidence.
Yeah. There was, I think, what made it worse is that she was just an ordinary, ordinary girl, like, member of the public, because before that there'd been stories about how celebrities have had their phones hacked, and, like, while some people were angry, it's not like everyone was going off their heads, were they? So,
no, because you were kind of like, well, you know, they're celebrities, it's not going to happen to me.
Exactly, and when it happened to, like, an ordinary member of the public, especially someone who'd been, like, kidnapped and murdered, that, I think that was what made everyone, like, sit up and take notice and get really angry about it. Which led to all sorts of investigations and one of the newspapers closing, didn't it?
It did, indeed. But, I mean, one thing that I would like to say to all of our listeners out there is that there's a lot of adverts on TV and a lot of talk about compensation and suing and, you know, all of that kind of thing. And there's a lot of people on, you know, stuff like Judge Judy and things like that. And it's just, it really does not help. Suing and that people, you know, needlessly, fair enough, if there is something that's wrong, if someone didn't put up a sign that there should have been and you fell over and you hurt yourself, then fair enough. If you had to pay bills or missed out work, then yeah, you should be compensated.
But you know,
but you shouldn't be deliberately going out there to get compensation for something that you don't need. It's like the whole thing about pensions, that they're cutting them for a lot of people, changing pension schemes and that, but there's loads of people out there claiming support from the government that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I just want to sort of send out a plea to you guys out there, that this just really doesn't really help anybody, and in the end you'll get found out if you do it, and then you'll get everything taken away that you bought with that money. So you're just going to end up losing out. You know, you might have a lovely house and everything, and then they just take all of that away again, and you'll be back to square one. So just don't do it, guys. All right?
I mean, you do know what they say, Chris. Where there's blame, there's a claim, isn't it? It's certain things, but you touched on benefits there, didn't you? About how people exploit certain benefits. You're in the news sometimes like this. This woman says she has a bad back, and so she needs to claim disability benefits, or she's hurt a leg, or she's, like, in a wheelchair. And then these detectives go undercover, don't they, and they see pictures of her playing golf and doing all sorts of running marathons and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you think, how do these people get away with it? It's just ridiculous. How much?
Well, I mean, to be honest, they've got to be, no offence to anyone out there who has been caught, but you've got to be pretty stupid to go out and play golf when surely you'd be a bit more smart and be like, well, I'll just stay in my house because I am claiming this, and then I'll stop claiming it in a bit, and then I'll go and play golf, and then I'll still get away with it because they won't have seen me not relaxing my back.
Oh, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm claiming benefit because I've lost a leg, and then just walking around in public with a leg.
it's unacceptable, really, and it's people like that exploiting the system who really should be locked up. They'd be able to join the News of the World staff in the prison cells, I think.
I've got one question for you, though, Sean. Now, would you say that a violent computer game would influence? I mean, this is a very topical question because they have been talking about it a lot, perhaps not like really, really recently. About whether violent games will lead to a violent individual.
There is evidence to suggest that, isn't there? But then again, Hitler didn't play any computer games, did he? Or someone. I can see where people are coming from. Like, would you buy your 8-year-old like Call of Duty?
Whatever? Oh God. Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't. But I mean, it's just. I mean, I think there's got to be some sort of restriction on games because when you start buying stuff like Grand Theft Auto and things like that, I mean, why?
If you play, it just seems to be
asking for trouble, because you can go around just beating people up.
If you played Grand Theft Auto, Chris, and then you played it all morning, would you then be tempted to go out and abduct someone from the car and kick the brains out on the street? Would you?
Well, no, but it's just like, it's just showing. I'm not really sure about how to get this across, but I'm just trying to say that it just shows that it could be making that sort of thing more of something normal that people do.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, because so say I played a football game or a racing car game, and I finished on it. I think, oh, I'd love to drive a racing car on the streets, or I feel like a game of football now. Maybe it's not the same with a computer game. So it's saying, oh, I've just shot 30 of the Taliban. I think I might go out on the street and start shooting people. Maybe it's a bit different. But well, thank you everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure as always. There's, as always, numerous ways in which you can contact us, sending you comments, feedback about the show. We're on our 13th one now, so we should be semi-professional, if you like. And you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/imstumpedpod, all one word. Facebook, we've had a Facebook account set up, it's I'm Stumped Podcast. And you can find us on email as well, it's imstumpedpodcast@hotmail.co.uk. And we're on Podomatic. If you go on Podomatic website and search in the search bar for I'm Stumped, will be the main one, and you can access all of the previous 12 shows as well as this one on Podomatic. So thank you for listening. Thanks for working with you again, Chris.
So I've been Chris Beale, as always, because I haven't changed my name, and it's been a pleasure once again to work with I keep leading up to you say like Sean Cassidy, but it's like completely anyway. I'm Chris Beale.
And I'm Sean Cassidy, as always, so I will...
You sounded like you were like completely unsure what your name is. Like,
I'm...
And goodbye!
Bye!
Thanks for joining us, Sean Cassidy and me. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Tell all your friends and family that you listen to the best podcast, so they should listen too. Oh, and please send us some questions for a change, could you?